praise. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come with much thanksgiving and praise and glory to your lovely name. We thank you for another day you give us. We thank you for another opportunity to come and speak your words, the words of life, the words of eternal life, the words of revelation for this last day. And Lord, we're happy to be a part of you, Lord, that you've revealed that to our hearts. And Lord, you've made it known to your bride around the world. Help us, guide us, draw us, Lord. Lord, we come on behalf of those that are not here tonight. Brother Goomba is sick, Lord. May you just touch his body, give healing, Father, to him. And Lord, for the family there, each one, and Sister Bride working, Sister Esther across the seas, Lord, may you be with her and let her journey or her trip be fruitful. You know her goals, her desires, you know all she has need of, Lord, and is trying to accomplish. May you bless those efforts, Lord. Father, for Sister Evelyn, we commit her to you daily, Lord, that you would continue to give healing as she recovers, Lord, from the surgery and is in need of more. Lord, just have your way. Guide her, keep her. For Brother Michael traveling, Lord, we commit him to you. Lord, that you'll give him traveling mercy. Be with him. Lord, just bless his wife. Lord, each one that's here, each one that's not. So we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here tonight. We thank the Lord we were able to be home today. Last week we had to work part of the day, and that always makes it strenuous. And when you're trying to work and do business, and of course, even when I'm home, I still get those calls and texts and things I have to take care of. But the Lord was good to us, and but I always feel like that. Not always, but sometimes you're going a certain way, and we've been on the Godhead, and so some of these quotes go along on the Godhead, but the Lord kind of got me to look at some other things that was mixed in here, and so I took the title tonight of Faith is the Key. You know, Brother Brandon preached a message one time called The Key to the Door. And that was quite a message, and he brought out some scriptures, and then when you search that, you start to follow up on that, and you go through the search on it, you find that in the scriptures that there were many keys, that many people, many angels, different ones, was given a key, and some more than one. And so when Peter was given the keys. He was given keys. And so it was striking to me. And I thought that what about us today? Mm-hmm. What about us? Do we have the key? Do we have a key for this day? Peter had a key for his day. And he had keys for his day, which opened many, many doors, many things that what the Lord gave to him. And so you could just spend several services in a study on this, but I'm just hitting some high places tonight because there was a couple of things that just were striking to me, and I wanted to share them. So I'm going to read first in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And this is the scripture that Brother Branham used when he preached this message, The Key to the Door. And he preached this in 1962. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. And so there's a lot, just in that one scripture, there's a lot there. So this angel to the church, he's speaking here that he has the key of David. And so Brother Branham took that study out, and in the Church Ages book, he brought out about the key of David, and he said, no, it's not about David, it's not about his kingdom, it's not about that. He said because of the position of the key. He said the key was on his shoulders. He said it wasn't around his neck. It wasn't in his hand, but it was on his shoulders. So he said it represented the government would be upon his shoulders. And so not going into that, but just for to mention it, that that's the way Brother Branham took it. So, but one of the things that's striking to me here, one is it's a key, singular, and it's the placement of that. But he's saying here, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And so we know in the scriptures that that's revelation. That's how revelation, that God is the one who opens revelation and he's the one that closes revelation. He's the one that gives it and he's the one that holds it back. And so as we look in the message, what Brother Branham is saying about the key, he's going to tell us that it's faith, that faith is the key. And we know the scripture, and I have it here. We'll read it, where Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And so if revelation is the key, and Jesus, and I said he's the way, but he also said, I am the door. He said, I am the door, I'm the way. And so if he's the door, then the key, then you've got to have a key to get in the door. And Brother Branham said that key is revelation. It's revelation. That's how we come to him. That's how we know him. In the message, the key to the door, paragraph 32, he's just reading the scripture here. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, like I said, this is represented in many different ways here. He's talking about the bottomless pit. And so we're going to see these things are being revealed. They're revealing of mysteries to the people of the age. Whenever those things are being spoken and it's time to open these things, then that's being revealed. That's what God is revealing to the people of the age. Let's read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys, and notice this time now it's in plural, of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, if we follow Peter's ministry and the things that Brother Branham related this key to, one of the things was right here, that he had the revelation of who he was. He had the revelation of the Godhead. He knew that this was the Christ, this was the Son of the living God. And so, and Brother Branham tells us without any doubt that the Godhead is a revelation. It's something that God has to open for you. Or you read the things that the prophet said, you read what the Bible says, and it doesn't come together. It has to be revealed. And so you have to have the key. And the scripture is the key. And so another thing that Peter had, he was the one who introduced, Paul had the gospel to the Jews, and Peter was to the Gentiles. And at a point, Paul then turned. He said, Lo, I turn. You've counted yourself unworthy. Now I turn to the Gentiles. But Peter also laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And so that was another thing, was the healing. Even him passing by, his shadow. Now, that's faith on the people that were sitting, that's a great faith, a strong faith that they had to just look on someone and receive their healing. But it was another thing that their life was so built up in the eyes of the people, and it was so strong, and it was so powerful, and they had such a oneness with God that the people recognized this in them, and that when they looked on them, they knew that God was with these men. And if they just looked at him, or this their shadow passed over them, another woman with Jesus just touched the hem of his garment. It was that kind of faith, and it was that kind of life that was being lived in that person that made that faith raise up, to rise up and to receive that. And so that was the life. That was the manifestation that was in Peter. And that was the keys that he was given. And so another thing was, the scripture said that whatsoever you loose will be loosed, and whatsoever you bind will be bound. Whatever you do, that's what it's going to be. And so that's a pretty powerful statement in itself. And we know that a believer is going to follow the leading of the Spirit, not step out and then do something because of their own idea about it or something, or because of emotion or something. They're going to be led by the Spirit to do what they do. So this is in paragraph 33, the key to the door. Now, I do not wish to make the keys, to make it the keys, because Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. But I want to call this the key to the door. And so So in the many places in the scriptures, like I said, sometimes it's key, sometimes it's keys. But what the prophet wants to get here is the key to the door. And he said, now a key. I noticed here as we read that this angel came down from heaven having the key in his hand. And I believe it's Revelation 13 or 19. We find it again, another angel coming down. I have a couple of scriptures that we're going to read on that. See, and a key is, the purpose of a key is to unlock something. See, something that's been locked up, or it's something that should be locked up. See, but a key is given for that purpose. So it's, a key is given to unlock something, to make known what's behind the door. And so it's to reveal something. So there's many kinds of keys, because we have many uses of keys. And Brother Branham talked about that. You got a key to your car. You got a key to your home. You got a key to many different things. And so all of them keys, they have a purpose. And without them, you can't, they won't operate. They won't operate. And one of the places as I was looking through this, Brother Branham was talking about a family that lost their keys and to their car. And they had traveled in. And then they laid their keys down somewhere, and they lost them. And so he was praying with them that the Lord would reveal where they were. And so it's something that you have. And I think sometimes we don't even think about it on a day-to-day basis. Unless you lose them, then you're thinking about them. But daily, and in my business, I have stacks. I mean, I just have a drawer full of keys. And people give me keys to their houses. And sometimes if I fail to mark them and put their name on them, then after a month or so, they're with the other keys, and I have no idea whose it is, whose house it is, what it is. But over the years, I've accumulated dozens and dozens of keys to homes. And some people I still work for, and if they go out of town, they can send me to their house to do something, take care of something, and like that. But anyways, you have to have the key. You have to have the key. And in this case, we're talking in the spiritual realm. There's a key to open the door. And he's the door. And this is in Revelation 9. This is another one of the scripture Brother Branham is referring to. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, These things are being opened. These things are being revealed, and the prophet makes it known. And paragraph 61, the statue of a perfect man. Now, Brother Bram's saying, last Sunday night I preached the key. And now he's referring back to this message, the key to the door. And he said, the key is faith. The faith holds the key, and the key is the scripture. And Christ is the door. Now he sums up the whole message in just a sentence or two. He sums up the whole message, and he does that a lot. Sometimes you can listen to a message, and then you come for the next Sunday or the next message, and he'll summarize it. And I love it when he does it. I love because you just get that the essence of it just in one sentence or a paragraph. He'll come back, and sometimes he'll actually go a little bit longer. He'll get started on it, and he can't let go. So let me read it again. Now, the key is faith. And what is faith? It's revelation. And faith, revelation, holds the key. And the key is the scripture. And Christ is the door. See? So faith takes the little hinges of the scripture and unlocks the glories and good of God out to his people. See? So it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people, unlocks it, and reveals it. So that's exactly what was happening with Peter. Peter, when he was given the keys, he was able to unlock this to the people, and they could see it in him. That's why when he was walking by, they seen something in him. They seen a life there, and that revelation that they had, they received what they had need of because of it. And so it is revealing. And so it revealed to the Gentiles that they could also receive the Holy Ghost. And so by the preaching of it, by the revelation of it, those that could receive what he was saying, the revelation of what he was saying, could say, because the Jews were very much, were the only ones. This is the salvation is of the Jews. And so that's the way they believed it. That's the way they taught it. And so they were pretty much, we're the only ones. We're God's chosen people, and everybody else is lost. And so everybody else was unbeliever. And so it was a shock to them, and not fully rejected, but it was rejected at first because this is not how they had came up. This is not how they had been taught. This is not how their denominations had turned them and divided them and brought them into this idea that nobody else but us is the ones. And so as they were preaching that the rest of the world was lost and they were the chosen ones, then eventually they began to divide among themselves and to Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and Herodians. And this is exactly what we have today. In the message. We don't even need to bother with the denominations. This is exactly what we have in the message. And if we get to it, Brother Brennan's going to talk a little bit about it, about how we've divided and divided and divided. And so when we come to that place, when that we say we all are following the same message, we're following the prophet, we're following this, and then we look for something. We look for one detail. In other words, we have our list. Do you believe this? And do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And we find something that's on our list that they don't see yet, then it's easy to mark them off because they don't know God. They have rejected God because they didn't get everything on our list. Remember, the list is not ours, the list is God's. That's the list we're going by. We're not going by our list because any list that we have is only the amount of revelation that he has allowed us to see. Is that right? It's not because of a great understanding, our great knowledge, our great intellect, or any of that. It's because of his grace that opened to us to see this revelation. And so we only see as much as he's let us see. And sometimes it's easy to put other people in another category, and we need to be really careful. I know there's those that they fight it, they reject it, they speak against it, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are growing in the revelation. And maybe they're not where we are. Maybe they're not where you are, but they're growing. And so that's in God's hands. We want it to be there. So, see, it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people. Unlocks who? Christ. Christ. Who is he? He's the Son. He's the Logos. He's the Word. Is that right? See? It's revelation that holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people. Unlocks it and reveals it. So today, we're going to try to take that same key to unlock the way to become a virtuous Christian in the statue of God. That and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Amen. And remember, God reveals himself in three ways. First, he revealed himself in the pillar of fire. See, that was called the fatherhood. So you can see studying the Godhead when I got on this idea. And so then the same God that made manifest in Jesus Christ, which he built a body, what did he do? He created a body. He spoke a seed, he spoke the germ, and that brought forth that body in the womb of a woman. See, a virgin. See, the same God made manifest in Jesus Christ, which he built a body, made this body. Thirdly, through the death of that body, he sanctified a church that he can dwell in. It was God above us, God with us, God in us. See, the same God all the time. That's the reason it was called Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not three gods, three offices of one God. That's right. And they'd only have thought of that, they'd have only thought of that at the Nicaea Council. We wouldn't have been all messed up, would we? That's right. He's saying if they had just thought that there, then we wouldn't have a Trinity doctrine today. Not like that. There's a Trinity, but it ain't not a Catholic Trinity. See, not three gods. The people couldn't understand how Jesus talked to the Father. And he and the Father are one. See? And that was one of their problems then. That was one of their many problems. And as many scriptures lay there to hide the revelation from them. And so that was one of the things they couldn't understand, how Jesus could pray, how he could talk, how he could talk about the Father and point to the Father. And so they separated it. And so Brother Branham was talking to a woman one time, and he was saying, talking about the same thing. And she said, "Well, Brother Branham, you and your wife are one. And yet you're two." And he said, "No," he said, "that's a different kind of one." And see, it takes the prophet for that. That's a different kind of one. He said, Jesus said, "When you see me, you have seen the Father." And Brother Branham said, "When you see me, you're not seeing my wife. You're not seeing her. There's a difference. See? It's because of what's on the inside. It's what's in the inside." There, the whole thing is, sure, just unfolds it, certainly. See? It's not three gods, it's three offices. That's right. Now, what is it? God condescending to his creation. God wants to be worshipped. I want you to listen, get this really good, because this really hit for me. And it's recognizing what God made us for, what God wants us to do, what God wants us to be, and the position that he's put us in. And it reminds me of a statement that Brother Michael made one time, and when I read it, he'll pick it up right then, because he'll know exactly that what we were talking about during that time. God wants to be worshipped. The word God means the object of worship. See? And is God trying to condition his people? What's he doing? Conditioning us. He's molding us and making us, getting us into that place, into that position that he wants us to be. Think about this. This is really serious. It's really it should really touch our hearts. So he can get from them what he created them for. This is what God has done, what God created us for, because he wants to be worshiped, because he wants fellowship. And when he placed Adam and Eve, and this is the thing that Brother Branham said, that's been restored. He said what Adam lost has been restored. But when we look at the world and we look at the natural realm, we're thinking, no, there's a whole lot missing. But the thing that he's referring to is that Adam had fellowship with God. Adam had that fellowship. He had that oneness. He had that where God came and talked to him and spent time with him. And he said he would come in the cool of the evening and they would sit down and have fellowship one with another. And they could talk to each other. Think about that. They had communion. They had real communion. And so that's been restored. And that's the reason why if the wine and the bread was given to do until he comes. If the wine and the bread was given as a symbol of the true communion. So the question is, when does that true communion come back? When does that take place? And that's the thing that Brother Renham made clear, that we now have that fellowship. We now have that oneness. We have that communion with God once again. And so why would you do something that was to signify something that you're already doing? Instead, it was signifying what was coming. And so once it comes, why would you continue to do that? Why would you continue to do the bread and wine and say, we know he's already come? By there they were doing it, through the church ages we were doing it, because we knew that he was coming, and this was the type of the fellowship that we were going to have with him. It was going to be the true fellowship. And people talk about it, but yet they can't let go. They have a hard time letting go of those ordinances, and yet it's been proven to them by the message. And I say this confidently and emphatically. It's been proven by the message that he has come.
Amen.
And it's been being preached for 30 years or more. At least 30 years, it's being preached around the world that he has come. And it is when maybe softly, softly, softly at first, because it was such an astounding thing. It was such an eye-opening thing. It was hard for people to accept, hard for people to believe, to think, no, when he comes, the skies are going to open, or the politics will be over with, there will be no more elections and no more presidents and no more this, the world will be over. That's exactly what they thought 2,000 years ago. It's exactly what they thought. And we look back and we think, why did they think that? And never, people don't bring it up until their day and say, why are we thinking just like they were thinking? Why aren't we recognizing that these things were spoke in a mystery and they were manifesting in a spiritual way, different than what people had physically figured out it was going to be? That this is totally different than they had in their mind. And so then when that happens, then there's only one hope, and that is you have the key. That you have the key to open that door. Because that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Even the scripture said there was a door open in heaven, and he invited them to come up higher. There was something in that door they had to enter in to see. They had to come up higher. They had to come up higher into that revelation. And so that's the same thing for us.
And it wasn't just at the end of the seven church ages, but it's constantly. It's a daily walk. It's a life that is to be lived, and it's a life that you are fellowshipping with Him every day, every day, every day. You want some time with Him. You want some time to talk to Him, to fellowship with Him. And Brother Branham said that the scripture is the key. Revelation is the key. So that means that if we're going to pursue this thing, we're going to spend time in the scripture. We're going to spend time in the message. We're going to spend time talking to Him and fellowshipping with Him. And that's the true worship. That's what He wants. That's the true worship, is that fellowship. It's that communion. And that's the thing that He's asking for. And that's the thing that He made us for. That's what He's saying. That's what He made us for. Listen to this. I'm going to back up just a sentence. And is God trying to condition His people? Why would He have to condition them? Why would He have to groom them and pet them and brood over them and do these things to get them to that? Because man has so taken it out of the people. Man has so taken it out of the church. Man has so brought his intellectual ideas in until you... I don't remember how many years ago it was, but my mom came. It was sometime after we left over here, and my mom came up, and my stepdad had died, and there was somebody, a preacher over here, who had actually, I think his brother had lived down there, was a good friend of my mom, and he had died, and so she met him, met the preacher, and said she was coming. When she came up again, she was going to come and meet, talk to him and greet him and whatever. So anyways, she asked me if I'd go to church with her, to a Baptist church. I think it was Baptist, wasn't it? Yeah. And so, you know, and we had been visiting around to different message churches and different things. And we went in, and I was in shock. I literally was in shock. Because when I was a kid, I had visited a Baptist church. My wife was raised in a Baptist church. But in those days, the Baptists were, they might have started wearing pants, but most of the women wore dresses. They might have started making that change back then, but they used to all wear dresses. On Sunday, that was the time when you went to church, you dressed your best, you looked your best, you acted your best, you did everything that you could. And so... we went in, and people were walking around in shorts. Everybody had drinks, coffee or water or soda or whatever. Some of them even was snacking. And so it was between, I guess, Sunday school and the church service. And so the church was filling up. Everybody was just talking and carrying on. And there was no reverence, no feeling of holiness, none of those things. I mean, it was so far away from everything we had been taught. And you know, and that's something to think about while we're talking about it, because Brother Branham said, Brother Branham tried to tell us that we should come early. We should come early and spend time in prayer and reading your Bible and preparing yourself. That we should come and get in that atmosphere. And so this is what he's talking about. He's talking about that worship that God wants. And I know you know, but Brother Branham said, when you come into church, and so this is why it doesn't matter whether you're in a church or you're at home, you're just one or two people or a dozen people. Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit is very timid. And when you have nonsense going on, or children are running around playing or doing different things, or even maybe there's no noise, but you're sitting there on your social media, God knows what you're doing. He knows what you're doing. And that's your reverence. That's your reverence to the Spirit of God, to the Holy Spirit. And so Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit is timid. And he said, when you start acting up, and being disrespectful, he said the Spirit of God leaves. He said it leaves. He said that's why he preferred to have his meetings in a church. He said because you go into these big arenas where they have these fights and these all these different things. He said those spirits are there. And whatever spirit you bring in, those spirits hang around. And so if we are coming with the Spirit of God and nothing else, not bringing everything else with, just coming with the Spirit of God, then that should be a reverence. There should be a holiness. There should be something there different than we're just at work and we're at home carrying on. We're doing different things. There should be something changing about us. There should be something that we're coming to this with a purpose, that we know we're entering into His presence. And you say, well, we're in His presence all day. Yeah, you are. You live in His presence. But there should be a sacredness when you come to gather to worship Him and to hear the Word of God. There should be a sacredness. There should be a respect. Listen now. So He can get from them what He created them for. He never made you to be something else besides a son and daughter of God. Did you hear that? That's what He made you for. That's what He made you for. And this statement here can go with a lot of other things out there. And I'm not going to go into any of them right now. But He made you for one purpose, to be a son and daughter of God. And a son and daughter of God, they have the nature of God and they have the mind of God. And they, so their life, their actions, everything is God. It's God that is in them. It don't mean we have our battles, we have our trials, we have all of that. But even our trials, even our problems, even our missteps, all of that is so God can express His attribute in us. And that's His purpose. See, He never made you to be something else besides a son and daughter of God. That's what He made you for. Never made you for something else. He made you for a son and daughter of God. If you have missed that, of being a son and daughter of God, you've missed the mark. We've missed the mark. If we miss that, if we forget on a daily basis what we're here for, that worship and that fellowship and that oneness. See, it's in the Church Ages book, in the Sardesian Church Age. Satan is the greatest sophist. He has never been overcome in a strife of words. Are you listening to that? And I knew this is definitely for me, this is for us preachers. Because all of the arguing, all of the fussing, trying to prove somebody right, trying to prove somebody wrong. No. You'll never outdo Satan. Brother Branham said never. Satan has never been licked, never been beat at this. See, in divine service, now, and let me qualify that, because Jesus did. He kept quoting the word. And that's what we're supposed to do too. Just keep quoting the word. In divine service, the words of men are usually heard more than the word of God. Think about it. That's, like I said, this is to preachers. This is to us. See? Each one chatters as he pleases or kills time by learned or disproving the views of others. And I think we've all maybe been guilty of that at one time or another. I know I certainly have. And see, but listen to this. And of the new birth and how a man must be changed into the likeness of Christ to become a partaker of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, scarcely anything is said. We need more of this. We need more of this right here, of getting to that place of the new birth. And once that new birth is there, then the Spirit is going to take over. The Spirit is going to do the work. Of the power of the keys. Who had the keys? Peter. Peter had the keys. See? Was given to the church. Of the power of the keys, the church has almost lost the power of binding, and only the power of loosing remains. The sacraments, given as symbols of unity, of love, of our life in Christ, have been made the occasion of bitterest conflict, a cause of mutual hatred, a center of sectarianism. In short, Christendom has become a labyrinth. The faith has been split up, and this is what I was talking about a while ago. The revelation has been split up into 1,000 little parts. And you are made a heretic if there is one of them that you do not accept. What can help? Only the one thing needful. Return to Christ. Looking to Christ as the only leader and walking in his footsteps. Setting aside all other ways until we have reached the goal. And have come to the unity of the revelation. Until we come to it. Not that we have all of it, but we're coming to it, we're growing. When we began in this walk, when we began in the new birth, we knew very little. And you young people, you've been in it your whole life. Us old people, we came into it at your age. We came into it at your age somewhere during that time. And so we've been walking, walking, walking. When we came into it, this message was just, we were looking through a glass darkly. We had no clue. We had no clue the things that has been revealed today. And that's what lets us know that he's on the scene. And that when that prophet went off of the scene, Christ didn't go off the scene. Christ was right here in the bride, revealing himself, revealing the revelation. Just 40 years ago, we couldn't imagine the things that have been revealed today. Couldn't. It was so far. We just believed God sent a prophet and he healed the sick and raised the dead. That was just about all we knew. And the rest became little by little by little. Even the basic, simple revelations of the Bible, they came slowly, slowly, slowly. And then after a while, we found out there was really a message. After we found out there was a message, one day we found out that the message was that he's come, that he's here. And that was a beautiful day. That was a wonderful time. And it just has been mystery after mystery after mystery. God revealing himself, making himself known, letting us see him, that he's here. And where do we see him? Right in the Word. And where we fail is we fail to realize that we have the key. That key is living in us. Because all revelation comes from him. He's the one who can open, and he's the one who can close. And wherever you go, whatever you do, you have the key. You have the key to every situation. Not just the mysteries, but every situation. Peter, he had keys. He had the keys to all these different things. And I know we're not living in the church ages, and I'm not taking us back to that. But what I'm saying is that it's revelation still. It's still revelation. That was revelation for the church ages. Now it's revelation for the bride age. That's where it's at. There's things that we have need of on a daily basis. There are things that we run into on occasion that we have need of the key. We have need to stand and open the door. And God is faithful. I'm not sure where I left off here. What can help? The only the one thing needful, return to Christ, looking to Christ as the only leader and walking in his footsteps, setting aside all other ways until we all reach the goal and have come into the unity of the faith, Ephesians 4:13, as the heavenly master built everything on the ground of the scriptures, so should we leave all peculiarities of our special confessions and be satisfied with the revealed word of God, which belongs to us all. With the Bible in our hand, we should cry, I believe that God has revealed in this book. I will obediently keep his commands. I hope for that which he has promised. Christians, give ear. There's only one life, but death comes to us in a thousand forms. Isn't that something? There's only one life, but death comes in a thousand forms. There's only one Christ, but a thousand antichrist. What a realization, what a revelation. But you Christians rejoice. Rejoice in what? Listen to this. This is in the Church Ages book. Rejoice is in your being caught up. That's exactly the bride. She's caught up. She's caught up in this revelation. She's caught up this rapturing. This bringing her out of the seventh church age, bringing her out of creeds and dogmas, and bringing her into the presence of Christ. Bringing her into union, into that oneness, into that marriage, and allowing her to be impregnated by Christ, the Word. See? Rejoice in your being caught up. Hear the words of your heavenly leader. Come unto me. Answer with one voice. Even so, we come. Praise God. That's right. This is in the message, Water Baptism. This is way back, 1961. Brother Branham says a lot in here. He talks about the Godhead. He brings a lot of good things. And I just want to just, he mentions these sons and daughters again, and I want to double up on that. Now, there the blood cell was broke. Now, when we lay our hands by faith upon the trembling Lamb of God and feel his flesh quivering and shaking for us, and our hands become bathed with his blood, and our souls, the life that was in him wasn't just a mere man. Neither was it an animal. It was God. So that life comes back upon the sanctified ones and becomes a son or a daughter, an offspring of God. See? The life of God. Amen. That's what it is. And that's what the purpose, that's what his purpose was, is to bring forth these sons and daughters of God today. That life comes back. That same life. See? And we are sons and daughters of God through the breaking of that blood cell, Jesus Christ. More than a man. More than a man. It was God dwelling in that veil of flesh. And that same God, that same life now has come back on your veil, on your body. Now, what is it then? God is back in his people, fellowshipping like he did in the Garden of Eden. See, there you are, sons and daughters. Isn't it beautiful? Praise be to God. Now, John 14, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can come to the Father. Who's the Father? Spirit. No man's going to get to the Father except by me, the Son, the Logos. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. You're looking at him. That's right. The Philadelphian church age, 162, I have set the open door. I have the keys. I'm the only one can open it. I'm the only one can reveal it. I have the keys. Is that right? No man can come unto me except my Father draws him. And notice what he just said. Notice what he just said. No man can come unto the Father except by me. And now he's telling you, no man, see, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. Except the Spirit draws him, they can't get to me. Amen. And if they can't get to me, they can't get to him. See, and all the Father has given me will come to me. No man can be saved only through Jesus Christ. Not through any church or any organization, any bishop, pope, just through Jesus Christ. He has the key. He's the only one. The keys of what? David, the future coming millennium, where he'll sit on the throne of David. I have the keys of David. I'll open this door and nobody can shut it. Nobody can open it but me, and nobody can shut it but me. That's right. How can it be? How can any man know he is the Christ until he's revealed himself to him? You can't. You can't. No matter how much we want to believe, no matter how much we try to believe, no how much we read it and how much we memorize and how much we it makes sense. Until he reveals it. That's what it takes. And that's what he's conditioned us for. That's what the seed is there for, so that it can be quickened. There's got to be something drawing. There's got to be make something in you that makes you want to walk with him. That makes you want to get closer to him. That makes you have that oneness. See, I have the key to the door. I am the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the Father. I'm the Son. I'm the Holy Ghost. I am. Not I was or will be. I am that I am. See? Said the whole thing. I am. Not I was or will be. I am. That means the living presence for eternity. Praise God. See, I am, always was, always will be. I am now as I always was and always will be. See, he's just I am. That's right. Oh, that's why they couldn't take it 2,000 years ago when he said I am. They knew what it meant. They knew what it meant, but they didn't know who he was. See, I have the keys of David to the kingdom and no man can shut it. The seventh verse proves that, all right? That he has the keys of David and no man can shut. See? For thou hast a little strength. And now this is a message to the age. But it applies well. See? Said to this little group down here, you just got a little strength now. What does that mean? Just like a man that's been dead, kind of shaking himself, coming alive, reviving up a little, coming to life. You've been coming out of them old dead creeds and everything. You've come to life a little bit, shaking yourself, kind of waking yourself up. You got a little bit of strength. See? But I've set a door before you now. And as soon as they come out of Lutheranism and Papalism and all these other isms and the Methodism and everything, he said, I put a door before you. And now you've got a little strength. What are you going to do about it? Think about what he's saying. That is what has happened. That's exactly what's happened. This thing from Pentecost, it went into the Dark Ages. And they completely lost all reality of God and all of what they were here for and what God wanted of them. And it was replaced by Catholicism and by man's ideas and by satanic ideas. It was satanic. It was Satan in the church. It was Satan in the church that was perverting those priests, that was perverting those people. But yet there was some seed there, and God was constantly calling them out. And although they didn't have much revelation, they didn't know much about it, they just knew that was wrong. And it was just enough to get them out. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know, have all the answers, but we know something's wrong. Because that spirit, that life that's in you, the Father in you, is making that known to you. And it's not agreeing with that thing out there, whatever it is. It can be anything. It can be on the job. It can be at the store. It could be at home. It can be anywhere. Wherever Satan is trying to upset you or fight you. And so God is in you. Remember that. No matter what, He's in you. All those dead creeds. Isn't this what happened in the seventh church age? That there was 10 virgins that were sleeping and they woke up. And they woke up. And all of a sudden they realized they had need of something. That's right. They needed, they were missing something. And I just wonder, in this bright age when we have so much revelation, we have so many mysteries that have been revealed. Are we about the Father's business? Are we doing what He wants us to do? Have we done all that we can do? Are we putting our strength and our efforts, our mind, our body, our soul, everything into this? Everything. It's time. If there was ever a time, it's time. This world is gone. You know it's gone.
Yeah.
You see the corruption. You see the filth. You see, you just see it. He said, you're shaking yourself, coming alive, reviving a little bit. You've come out of those things. See? He's saying, what are you going to do? You've got some little strength. What are you going to do about it? I put a door before you now. Now you got a little strength. What are you going to do about it? It's set before you. You can walk in it or walk out. See? Either way you want to, the door is set before you. You've got a little strength just coming to life. You're just beginning. And that was that coming out. That coming out. And remember, Brother Branham said, redemption is in two parts. It's coming out and coming in. You just coming out, that was great. That was a step. But you've got to enter into Christ. You've got to have that oneness. God doesn't call a man to judgment without first warning him. This is a powerful message. Brother Ram said a lot in this message. It's hard. See, you have to depend on the Holy Spirit because the Bible is wrote in riddles. You just can't sit down and read it like a newspaper. It's hid. Yes, sir. How many would ever justify God? And he's going to go to something that always that made him wonder. That made him wonder. Like God saying one thing and then God telling him to do something else. And that's powerful. But remember, it's wrote in riddles. It's wrote in parables. It's spoken in a mystery. And so you've got to have a key to open that. You've got to have revelation to open that. See, how would you ever justify God when he told Moses up there, said, don't you make any engraven images in his commandments. Don't you make anything like what's in heaven, an angel or anything else. Don't you make any graven images. And on the same day, told him to mold two angels out of brass and put them right at the mercy seat where mercy's at. Mm-hmm. See how that is contrary to people's mind, to their intellect? Mm-hmm. And how many things? How many different things like that? Right in the message. Right in the message. Looks like he's saying one thing, doing something else. It's a revelation. What did he say? Don't you do it. Don't you make a graven image. If God wants something done, it's going to be him doing it. And that's the problem. That's the problem. When man's doing it, it's messed up. When man's bringing something new, it's messed up. When God's bringing something new, then that's what God wants.
That's right.
We've hit these things before. Amen. See? You have to know God and His nature before you can understand His Word. He has the key to that Word Himself. And He's the only one can handle it and open it. And so He's the one that has to reveal it. That's right. And we find out His nature was here to always warn man before judgment, to warn a nation before judgment, so forth. He always gives His warning, a reminder to we of a responsibility. We are responsible. And God has put us here on the earth for a reason. And that reason that He put us here for, see, we are responsible to Him for that reason. He's already told us one thing was to worship, to fellowship, to have communion. And you should go to Him and find out what He wants you to do. See? What He wants you to do. Now, if I went to work for a man and he gave me a job on a ranch or something or another, and you just went out to the barn and you sat down. Now, I've had people do this. I've worked with a lot of people over the years. And I've had guys that I'd give them something to do, and then I would go do something else. And might have three or four guys working, you know, and so I'd give them something to do, and I'd go over here, and I'd be working. And after a while, I thought, well, let me go over and check. And they'd be sitting down, not doing anything. And I said, well, what are you doing? They said, well, I finished. I'm done. I said, you're finished. And I said, did you ever think about coming and telling me you're finished so I could give you something else to do? Well, I didn't want to bother you. I was just waiting for you to come back. I said, yeah. Well, let me tell you something. If you want to clock out every time that you finish something until I come back by, you can just clock out. And if you want to do it like that, if you want your 8 hours to be 4 hours or however many it is, I said, that's up to you. But when you finish one thing, you come tell me. If God has given us something to do, and we do one thing, and then we go sit down, like we're done, we've done it, we're finished. No, it's not like that. It's every day. It's a life. It's a life. If you went to work, see, He gave you something to do, and you go sit down, and see, you must go ask Him what He wants you to do.
Amen.
And then do it. If you're working for a man, find out what your duties are. That's every day we should be asking God, what do you have for me today? What do you want me to do today? Lord, I'm ready. I want to do your will. And then if our life is on the earth here, then we should go to the one who put us here. Lord, what would you have me to do? See, what must I do? Why am I here? If it's to be a housewife, a dishwasher, whatever God wants you to do, then you do the very best that you know how to do. Brother Branham always preached that. No matter what you are, no matter what you do, just do the very best that you can. You know, complaining about it, wanting something else, that's all fine. If you want something else, then pray for something else. Put your efforts towards something else. But complaining and whining, that's not going to do it. That's never going to do it. It just, whatever you do, do the best that you can, be the best that you can. No matter how little, no matter how little it is, you must do it. You say, well, the trouble of it is, each one of us wants to do the next man's job. We all want to pack the ball, as we say, you see. And I can remember that as a child. My dad had work for me at home, and I didn't want to. I wanted to go. I either wanted to go play. It was easier to work at somebody else's house. I don't know why this is. It was easier to go to somebody else. I don't know if it was just being with a friend or helping somebody else. I don't know if you felt like the appreciation level was high. I don't know what it was. But as a kid, I could go work at somebody else's house and just work and work and not. It was just like fun. And if I had to work at home, it was just like this big chore. This was just miserable me. Just become a victim, you know. And so, but when we grow up and we mature and we realize that we're working for God and that it don't matter what it is, That's what Paul said. I've learned to be content in whatever stage, whatever position, whatever I am, whatever I'm doing, I've learned to be content right there because I know that he's doing this. He wants me to do something, whatever it is. If I fall down, he has a reason for me falling. He had a reason. See, that's the way with people. See, we've all, the body of Christ, has got to be in their position, in harmony, see? Then we can look around and see what time of the day it is. And then the worlds are looking to see what it is. But they're watching you, see? And if you're just a little hairspring, mainspring, whatever you are, you do the very best job that you can be at that. Now, I remember one time years ago when Brother Keenan was building his house over there, and I had a young boy I hired. Just was a local boy here, actually. And he wanted me to teach him to be a carpenter. And so I told him, I said, yeah, I'll do that. I said, I'll be glad to. And so, but come to work one day, and I had a little bit of painting I needed done. And so I didn't have any we was at Brother Keenan's and was finishing up. And so we're just doing some touch up on the painting. And so he got all bent out of shape, and he was just complaining, I don't want to be a painter. I want to be a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I said, that's fine. And I said, once you're trained for that, then you can get a job that you don't do anything but that. I said, but right now you're learning. And so if I'm going to keep you busy, you'll just have to do whatever I have that day. And I said, I do something different every day. I got just different things. And I said, he said, well, this is nothing. I said, oh, yeah, it is. I said, everything you do, there's a skill. There's a skill to it. And I said, it's not just slopping it on the wall. I said, there's a skill to that. And so I took the brush, and it was on the door, on the trim, something like this. And I just cut that line. I took with my paintbrush and went right down that line. I said, you see that straight line? I said, that's a skill. It's something you learn after you've done it. And I said, everything you do, if it's drywall, if it's painting, if it's just do, learn to be the very best that you can be at that, at that. And one day, it'll pay off for you. It'll come back to you. And that's how we should be. That's how we should be spiritually. If we're the doormat or we're setting up in comfort, whatever God wants us to be, whatever God wants us to do, are we willing? Are we willing? If you're a housewife, be the best housewife you can be. That's right. If it's to be a farmer, be a genuine farmer. Whatever it is that God has put you to do, you got a stewardship to that. You got to answer to God for that, because it makes all these things to do it. See? And like Hezekiah was told to make ready, to get ready, because that he had to meet his maker. Huh? Hezekiah was a king, a great man. And did you notice his plea here? Lord, I beseech you to consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. What a statement. That was from a king. That was from a king. And God did not correct him. God agreed with him. And God gave him 15 more years. God answered his prayer and gave him more years of his life. Just think. God's fixing to take you home, and you ask him for something. And your plea is, I've lived this life. And you don't have to plead that. God knows it. God knows the life that you're living. And that's what he wants to see every day. And that's what he will see. If he's on the inside, it's going to come out in your every action, in your every move, in your words. It's going to come out. It's going to happen every day. It's going to be happening. And it's going to show and prove. And when you have a need and you cry out and you call on him, you're going to see the same results. You're going to see God come on the scene. Don't ever get it like God's the snap of your finger. No, just keep it there that, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Always keep it right there. Keep that humility. Keep your desire that you want to please him, that you want it to be on his terms, on his conditions, and it will it'll come out right. It'll come out right every time. That's right. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. And so we thank God. And we want to remember that we have something that the world don't have. And it's the key that will unlock the door. And the problem is, the people without a key, they're trying to get in the door. There's millions and millions of people that are trying to come to Christ. They're trying to know him. They're trying to talk to him. They're trying to get something from him. But they don't have a key. They don't have the key to open the door to get in his presence. But you do. You do. And the bride around the world has that key. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand together with us. Let us bow our heads, our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, that you have given us everything we have need of. Lord, you have fully equipped your bride. Lord, you've given her revelation. You've given her the key to the door. Lord, and you are that door. Lord, you're the one that supplies all revelation. You're the one that gave Peter the keys. You're the one that revealed to him that you were the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't get that on his own. But Lord, you give him that key. And Lord, you've given us a key. Lord, you've let us see these great things. You've let us see your presence. You've let us see, Lord, by revelation, Lord, that you're here and that you're living in your bride, that you've made your word live and brought forth every promise. May you bless each one as you know every need. Bless Brother Goomba, Lord. May you move out the sickness, Lord. He said he was suffering. May you just touch him. Give him much grace, Lord. Each one now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.